The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Nazir has been dedicated by our good friend Haimi and Dina Dana. Hashem Yishmirem V'Hayim. V'Hatzlacha for all their children that they should be Mehunach Alpi Toratenu HaKedusha. They should grow up and they should be Zochel Torah U'Mitzvot U'L'Chupa ולמעשים טובים, ובפרט, רפואה שלמה, ומשה בן דינה, אין נא רפנה לו, בתוך שאר חולי עמו ישראל, וגם רפואה שלמה, פנינה, בת אסתר, אין נא רפנה לה, אין נא רפנה לה, אין נא רפנה לה, רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף, ורפואתה קרבה לבוא, וכן ירסון, ונאמר אמן, וזכות המסכת נזיר יגן בעדם, אמן.
Today's daf is being studied Einu Nishmat Mor Zekeni Rabbi Yosef Ben Sarah Rabbi Abraham Ben Esther Hashem Tilechem Began Eden Refuah Shelema Moshe Ben Dina Sarah Ruhama Bat Aram Sarah Bat Rachel Enna Refan Nahem Fat Nefesh Yafa Bat Sarah Enna Refan Nahem Fat Nefesh Ufuat Aguf Watan Kedavad Abba Vechini Nasum Vanaman Amen. We are on daf Gimel Amud Bet, and we are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines from the bottom, starting with the word Hay Eved. We have a machloket between the Yohanan and the Shlakish. Just to go back to our Mishnah for a second. Our Mishnah said about a Eved min amit, or Eved min ahai, sheyesh alehem basar kara'uy, which means, let's say, a limb that came off of Eved of a mit, or a living person, and it still has enough flesh on it to regenerate. Meaning the, let's say there's some flesh or the sinew is still on it, where if you'd reattach it to a live person, it would, you know, it would continue to exist. So such an Eved is able to exude Tum'ah, which means if a Nazir goes over such an Eved, Mahil, Magam, Masa, so he's going to now be Tameh. Keep in mind that when we say Tameh, it's Nazir Tameh, meaning he has to be Megalayah. He has to shave, he has to be korbanot, he's got to start the count all over again. All right, so the Gemara then made a mahloket between the Yohanan and the Shakish. It said, Eved that has on it basar, right? It's able to regenerate. So the Gemara made a diuk. Mashwa, what about if it doesn't have basar? Right? So therefore, Gemara said, I'm just going back for a moment, the Yohanan Amar, in a nazir megalei halehim. Rabbi Yohanan said, if it doesn't have the proper basar flesh on it, Rabbi Yohanan says he does not megalayach. We're not discussing over here ohim. The discussion over here is maga umasa. And he says he's not going to be megalayach. That does not bring a tum'ah that causes the nazir to shave. And the Shakish says, ha nazir megalayach. So no, that the nazir will be megalayach. This type of tum'ah as well, even a bone without the proper flesh. Now, the discussion we have to analyze now is, how big is this bone that we're talking about? Why? If it's the size of an etzim, if it's the size of an etzim kis'onha, size of a barley, which should be the machloket? We know, we have a rule already. Any type of bone that's the size of a barley is mitameh b'magar masa. So how can Rabbi Hanan come along and say that it's not mitameh? I don't care about the flesh. Just go with the bone itself. And if you're telling me it's less than the size of an etzim kis'ura, so then what's the logic of the Shakish? I thought we learned that the minimum magal masa is etzim kis'ura. The bone's got to be the size of a barley. Now you give me a new item. You tell me even less. So therefore, we have to discuss today the size of the bone that we are talking about. So that's where the Gemara begins. Hay evid min amet echid amet. What's the case? Evid min amet she'en alav basar. If you tell me that it has this minimum shi'ur as a etzim kis'ura, my tabad Rabbi Hanan. What's the reason of Rabbi Hanan? Why should he say that it's not mitameh magam asa? If it doesn't have an etzim kis'ura, my tabad Rishakish. What's the reason of Rishakish? I thought the minimum shi'ur of magam asa is etzim kis'ura. So how can Rishakish say if it's less than it's still going to be mitameh? Amar lecha Rishakish le'olam delet be etzim kis'ura. Hiddush. There's not etzim kis'ura. It's less. It's smaller than that. Vafidu acher rachmana rabia. And still, we're going to see from now, the Torah was merbeh. I mean, the Torah included this item as well. Now, the Gemara is going to bring a braita. The first part of the braita is not where the proof is. The proof is actually on the next amud, on the amud Rishon, Well, the Gemara is bringing you the whole Braita in its entirety. Now let's see what the Braita is. The Tanya, V'chol asher yiga al panei hasadeh b'halal harev o b'emet o b'kabel. That's the end of the Pasuk, which means the Pasuk is talking about over here. V'chol asher yiga, anybody that comes and touches anything that's on the open field, b'halal, on a corpse, harev, on the sword, o b'emet, on the mit. Now the Gemara is going to be Doresh what all these words are talking about. This Pasuk is actually Hedushim regarding the Tumah of Tumat Ohel. And the Gemara begins, Al Pnei HaSadeh, which is you saw a corpse on the open field. What does that mean? Al Pnei HaSadeh, Zeh HaMa'ahil Al Pnei HaMit. This is referring to somebody that comes along and hovers over the mit, which means he's Ma'ahil himself, in the airspace, over the mit. So the Tumah of the mit goes on him. So that's Al Pnei. Pnei meaning on the over, like in front of the over the mit. Okay, the next hadush is bahalal. What does the word bahalal mean? Which literally means a corpse. I don't need to tell me a corpse. I know a corpse is metame. So what does the word bahalal mean? So it says ze even minahai. This is talking about a limb that came off a living person. Ve'yesh lo la'alot arucha, and it is enough flesh on it that has the ability for it to regenerate itself. So the hadush is that limb that falls off a living person that can be ma'ale arucha, that can heal itself if it would be reattached, that's going to exude tumat oil as well. Harev, what is the word harev in the pasuk referring to? Hareze kehalal. We have a rule. The harev that touches the mit, and then somebody touches that harev, that's the sword, a metal utensil, that has a din like the mit itself. Just like the mit has a status of avi avota tum'ah, which is the highest madriga of tum'ah, that makes the person that touches an ava tum'ah, which subsequently we can be mitameh adam v'kedim, so too, the harev, hadush of it, bahalal harev. What's the juxtaposition? Harev areu kehalal. That means if you have a sword, or for that matter, any metal item that touched the mit, that item now becomes avi avot as well, and somebody touches that harev, now has going to have a deen of an av. Halal and harev are equal. Obemet, what does obemet mean? Ze evra nehalal min amet. That's about a limb that was severed from the corpse. Again, also with the same flesh on it to regenerate itself. So that also is mitameh. Obe'aitzim adam. Okay, it says obe aitzim adam. That's also part of the pasuk. What word means the limbs? Ze rova atzamot. Or is the din of rova atzamot? We have a quarter of a kav of atzamot of the body that also is able to be metameh person. So you have a quarter of a kav in a roof, right? The guy walks in, so it's able to bring a person to ma. We're not talking about a nazir necessarily. It was a nazir. We know we learned halacha mishim says hatsi. Hatzikav. But this is a regular tumah. Regular tumah is able to be mitameh. O be kever, the pasuk says, ze kever satum. This is referring to a kever satum. What is kever satum? You'd benefit by looking at a picture, but let's just finish the statement. Da'amar mor, because we have a statement. Tumah bokaad ve'ola, bokaad ve'yoredet. That sometimes tumah is bokaad. It breaks through and goes up, and breaks through and goes down. Okay, end of first part of the Raita. What is that listing of kever satum? You have a kever, a coffin, that is sealed. It's no openings, okay? Totally sealed. And where the corpse is, to the top of the kever, to the top of the coffin, is a tefah. Okay, there's a tefah. Tefah, let's say about 3 inches, 3 to 4 inches, let's say, space. So the law is like this. What happens is, in that case, we say the tum'ah, let's say the mit is taking up a part of the kevet. The coffin is bigger than the mit itself, right? That we say, in a case where it's sealed, totally sealed, and there's a tefah, the tum'ah spreads throughout the whole coffin. Even the place where the mit is not, the tum'ah spreads, like the whole thing is filled. We look at it as the whole thing is filled with tum'ah. And therefore, if a person is ma'ahil on any part of the kevet, even the part where the mit is not necessarily there, he becomes tameh. Okay, that's the din of kever satum. Masha'en ken, if let's say you had a, again, kever satum, sealed, locked vault, and there was not a tefah between the mit and the top of the door, top of the roof of the kever, then we say tum'ah buka'at ve'oleh. That means only where the mit is, the tum'ah breaks out and goes all the way up, up and down, but it does not go to the sides. Therefore, if somebody was ma'hil on the side where the mit is not, so that would not bring a tum'ah. Now look at the pictures. If you have a picture of it, you can see it. On 54A1, they gave you the two scenarios over there. Right on the left side, you see empty spaces less than a tefah. So you see the shaded area, that's tum'ah bukat. Only where the mit itself is. In the next picture to the right, you see where there's an empty space of one tefah or more, then the tum'ah is... goes to the sides. There's a tzutzah, it's called. It goes to the sides, and therefore, if a person's mahil, it's going to be metamim on any of the in any ways. Okay, now before we go to the next part of the bride, so the first part of the bride told us all chedushim, what brings ohil tum'ah. Okay, and they were dorish from the pasuk, al pnei hasadeh, bahalal cherev, or bemet, or bekaber, all that. Now let's read Tosafot, just to get what we just spoke out a little clearer. Let's start with that. Actually, we'll read the Rosh as we have accustomed ourselves. Start the Rosh. Al pnei hasadeh, zeh mahil al pnei hamet. De mashma maga shehu ba'avir. It's masha al pnei hasadeh. It's a type of maga, type of connection that you're having with the mit over the airspace. How was that? Al pnei hasadeh v'ainu ohel, which means on the face of the field. You're not touching the mit itself. You're being mahil through what? Through airspace. How you're hovering over the mit itself, and that's how you're bringing it to ma. Now he just has a question that says, "Aye, but in Masechet Chulin, we were doresh this pasuk for something else." So the Rosh says, no, over there we were focusing on the word sadeh. Over here we're focusing on the word pene. That's that. Next Rosh. Bahalal ze'evir min ahai. Dehachi masha shinit halel memakom heburo. Right, it's severed. Bahalal, it's severed from its place. Which means from a living person, and it still has the ability to regenerate itself. That's what bahalal means. A bone that's severed. The ispo kadeh la'alot arucha, hachi gemirila. Okay, that's the tradition. Chayre vareu kehalal. The kevan de naga cherev bemet. Once the cherev touches the mit, na'asa avi avot atumah. It becomes avi avot atumah kemet atzmo. Now, v'laf dafka cherev. Don't think it's only a sword. Elowadin kol kli matechot anugim bemet. Any metal item that comes in contact with the mit has a din of avi avot atumah. Or the Yitzhak me samfunti af kli. Afli shetef, kemoshe farish to kaman. Kli shetef is even non-metal kelim. So it's a machlok, and if it has to be metal, even non-metal. But we'll see. Obemet, ze even a nehalel min amit. Now, when it says obemet, it's talking about a limb that's severed from the mit. So the Rosh says, de lemet shalem no estarich. I don't need the pasuk tamim mit, because even the chayrif that touches the mit is avi avot atumah. Kol shekin the mit itself. The afidu chayrif shalem kamim mit metamim be'oil. Good, so therefore we're talking about a bone that's severed from the, or a limb that's severed from the mit, that still can regenerate itself, if it would be attached to a living person, therefore has a deen of tumat oil. Next one, o bekever, ze kever satum, she'en lo petiha bepoteyach tefa, which means the vault is totally sealed, there's not even an opening in the vault of a tefa, u'ma'ahil alav, afidu shelo kereged tumah. And he's ma'ahil, the guy's ma'ahil over the coffin, even in the spot where the mit is not. He's still going to be tameh. Because what do we say? The tum'ah spreads to the sides. Because you have a tefah on top, so we look at it as if the whole coffin is filled with tum'ah. The hashbina nekilu kulo male tum'ah. Good. Ubilvad shiyu poteyach tefah ben amet legaga kever. So long as you have a tefah between the mit and the roof of the kever. Aval, im en bo poteyach tefah, havo tum'ah retsutza ubuka'at. Okay, that's a vaki tenam be perek zayim besechet aolot nefesh atuma nogeya ba minastadim shahor mepnei shetov bukat ve'odeh bukat ve'yored v'im haya makom atuma tefa al tefa al rum tefa nogeya makom tamim mepnei shu kekever satum. Okay, then he gives a different halakha there, but the point is, for us, is kever satum, totally sealed vault with a tefa in the area there between the mit and the roof, and you can, and if the guy's mahil in any area, he's going to receive tuma. That's the first part of the braita. That doesn't help us what we're trying to find out. We're trying to discuss maga'u masa by an eved that is less than a se'ora, to try to justify the shtakisha statement. Again, our problem is we learned till now from maga'u masa. Maga means you touched it, masa is you carried it. The minimum shi'ur of an ev has got to be a se'ura. The Shakishoveh came and gave us the big hadush. He's telling us that even less than that, light is going to be metameh. So we say, where'd you get that from? So we got it from this part of the Braita. So it says now, v'ilu gabe negi'ah. Oh, by the law of negi'ah, by touching, tumah, that's gotten by touching, tumat negi'ah. Amar v'udat tanya. We have a Braita. Now we're quoting a pasuk over here. The pasuk over here says, just to give you the whole pasuk, it says, "Ve'ala nogeya ba'etzim o behalal o bamet o bekaber." Right, somebody that touches is tumat nigya ba'etzim the bone, behalal bamet o bekaber. So the Gemara is going to doresh. We just were doresh by tumat ohel. The different words we're going to doresh now. Words that are written by tumat nigya. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? That's the regular law. That's the source, by the way. Source. How do you know? They don't answer from the word in the pasuk. That means if it's the size of a barley corn and somebody touches it, it's going to be tameh. Okay, that's that. What does halal mean? This is talking about an eved that was severed from a living person. Ve'en bo la'alot arucha, and it does not have enough flesh on it in order to regenerate itself. It'll be subject to the tumah of nigiyah. Okay, not oil, but tumat nigiyah. Continue. O bemet ze eved anehalal min amet. This is a similar case. It was severed this time, but from a mit. And same law, does not have enough flesh in order to regenerate itself. Oh, bekaber, what is bekaber coming to teach me? Abar shtakish, ze kever, shlifne hadibur, period, end of statement. What is a kever, lifne hadibur? That's a literally a coffin or a dead body, a kever, a grave, before Matan Torah. Now, before Matan Torah, there was no law of Tumat Ohel, no such thing. Before Matan Torah, there was only the din of Tum'at Maga'u Masa. That was the law. And the law of Jews and Goyim happened to be equal before Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, when the Pasuk said, Adam ki yamut be'ohel, so we learn, Atem kiruyim Adam, ve'en ovde kochavim kiruyim Adam. Which means, the Tum'at of Ohel was only said by Jews. A goy cannot bring tum'at ohim. Okay? If anything, his tum'at is only maga umasa. I mean, a dead goy. Right? The corpse of a goy. So, before Matan Torah, there was no difference between Jew and goy. That's why we're referring to this over here when it says met ze kevish lefne hadibur. Kevish lefne hadibur before the Matan Torah. That's another way of saying that a kever of a Jew before the dibur had a din of a goy, which means there was only the law of magal masa. That's what Pasuk is saying. Or bekaber, right? That somebody would touch the kever, the coffin of a Jew, the grave of a Jew, before Matan Torah, or for that matter, a goy after Matan Torah, only exudes tumat magal masa. So that's how you know a goy is only mitamebe. Magal. So that's what we learn from the word obekaber, teaching me the deen of a goy. That obviously you don't need a dirashah for what happened before Matan Torah. It's just calling it before the dibur because it never changed. The goy before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah stayed the same. It's just that we were the same like the goy before, and then I said tumat ohel changed after. You want to read that inside? You could look at the. It says it nicely. Look at the Mefarish. Mefarish is on the right side. We haven't read the Mefarish in a while, but that's Obekaber. Right? That's the Mefarish they're calling it. Amar Eshtaki Ze Kevish Lefne Dibur. See that? Mefarish on the right side? Where Rashi usually is. Kilomar. She'avde kochavim metameim b'maga. That's the point of Eshtakish. Goy is metameh b'maga. Afapish e metameim b'ohel. Even though there's not tumat oil by a goy, kedetanya kivre avde kuchavim em etamim beoil ela bengiyah. Now vechol shaya kodem adibur kodem atan Torah ben shel avde kuchavim ben shel Yisrael kari lekever ben Noah. They used to call it Kevir ben Noah. Mm-hmm. Only after Batata, then you had Kevir Yisrael. But before that, it was just a general term called Kevir ben Noah. The Kevir ha'ovet kuchavim la'har ha'dibur kekodem ha'dibur. The goy never changed. She'en metam'im be'ohel efi she'lo netna lehem Torah. Which means the kevir of that dibur is like, it's not by saying a goy, the kevir of a goy, but it's lefnat dibur because he never changed. His lefnat dibur was like a hara dibur, right? Tumat magal basa. Good. Now that we have this statement, now we got to analyze. The Gemara begins. Gemara says, "Hi, every min ametech idameh." Good. You told me in this last darasha, this last round of tumat maga, you told me one of the tumot that brings maga is what? An eved min amit, a limb that fell off a mit. Now we want to know what's the size of this eved. He didn't say, just an eved min amit. So the Gemara says, Echidme, idi it be'aitzim kis'ora. If you tell me it says aitzim kis'ora, hainu hanogeya be'aitzim. You addressed that already. Then you just tell me the first part of the pasuk, hanogeya be'aitzim. And what does aitzim teach me? Aitzim kis'ora. So we're running two pesukim, esem kesora or a limb that falls off the size of seora. Either way, it's tumat maga. Oh, ela delet be esem kesora. Oh, must be talking about this part of us where it does not have a size of esem. Vafilu achi, and still Rachman Arabia, and still the pasuk came to include it to tell me what that is going to be mitameh. Now you have to ask yourself a question: what are you talking about? If you tell me it has to be size of esem, well, then you tell me even less than esem. Make up your mind. So what do you have to say esem? So the Tosafot comes along and says, just the first line of the Tosafot of Dibur HaMetzel Ela, that answers this question, Kevan Sheyesh Bo Ever Shalem, which means, when we talk, look at Tosafot, Ela Delet Be'etzem Kis'ora, is talking about where it's Ever Shalem, meaning Etzem Kis'ora is even a fragment. Right, where it's a fragment, then already you have to have the size of a Se'ora. The Hadush of is if, let's say, you have a full Evid, I guess it's got to be one of the smaller Evarim, obviously. The Hadush over there is that even if it's less than a Se'ora, it can exude Tum'at Maga. So that's the source of Ishtakish. Even if it doesn't have flesh on it to regenerate itself, if it's an Evid Shalem, it has the ability to be Mitameh, not Be'ohil, Be'maga. Oh, so we've proven successfully, we found the Shitav Rishtakish, it's based on a Braita, Yesh Tum'at Maga Be'ever Shalem Afilu Pachot Mese'ora. Aval, on a fragment, it's got to be Dafka a Se'ora. Only Le'enyan Tum'at Maga Ve'lo Le'enyan Ohel. Comes the Gemara and says, wait, we're not finished. Ve'amal Lecha Rabbi Yohanan. Hey, Rabbi Yohanan, what are you going to do with this Darasha here? So you have to remember, Rabbi Yohanan was the one that said that, no. The Etzem that we're talking about over here is talking about Etzem Kis'ora. He didn't go with this business over here. He owes less than a Se'ora, it's not Mitameh, not Mivagav, not Mimasa, right? It's got to be the size of an Etzem. It's got to be the size of an Etzem, so what do you need two Pesukim for? You have one Pesuk that comes along and says, Oh, Kol HaNogei HaBe'etzem. Then it says, Oh, Bebet. Yeah. What do you need? The both items. So the Rahman says the olam di'it be. I'll tell you, it has a shi'ur. It's talking about it is the size of a se'ura. That's what you need the both lines for. He says ve'im enu inyan lemagao. To now inyan lemasao. We took it for granted that maga masa goes together. Rabbi Yohanan says no. You need the word o be'etzim or hanogeya be'etzim to teach me this to nogeya. You can't take the pasuk out of context. No, that means touching. How do you know lifting? How do you know masa? And we thought it goes hand in hand. Doesn't. And therefore you need the word obemet to teach me what the deen of when you have an esem kis'ora, the law is going to be this tum'at masa as well. Im enu anyan le nogeya. I don't need nogeya. Nogeya already I learned. Obe'etzem. So therefore the next that I says to be same, it's a repeat. Etzim, the size of a bali, now will be metameh the masa. The only problem Tosfot points out with this derasha, when it came to the met, like you gave me different words. You gave me evesh and halel, right? An eved that was severed. What would you have to get confused? Just say the same exact derasha over. Say etzim kisora. You need, according to me, basically you need etzim kisora twice. One for maga, one for masa. So Tosfot just doesn't understand then why would the Braita, when it got to the Masa item, gives like a different terminology, a limb that's severed from the. Don't make it confusing. Just say Esif Kesorah twice. You need it twice, according to Rabbi Yohanan. But bottom line, in his answer, but bottom line, what do you see? The machloket has now been sourced. Shakish has a source, and Rabbi Yohanan rejects his source. It comes up and says, no, you need one for maga and one for masa. Look at. And the Rosh, incidentally, leaves another question in Sarik Hayyun, and he says, Sarik Hayyun, the Shtakish minale de Aizab Kisrana metamib al Masa. Right? He leaves that in the question. How does the Shtakish know Tumat Masa? Well, he doesn't, because the Pasuk says, Hanogeya. I mean, if you want to put them together, you can, but who says? I mean, if you want to be technical, the Pasuk doesn't say, Hanogeya be Aizab. I mean, Rabbi Hanan already obviously held, you can't put them together. There's two different types of Tumat. One, you're touching it, one, you're not even touching it. You just. Lifting it. So the Rosh leaves in the Tzadik Hayyun as well. He doesn't know where the Shtakish is going to get his deen of Tum'at Masa from. But in any event, as I said, it is well documented in the Braita that Shtakish has a source. Comes again, and continues. Okay, let's go back to our Mishnah now. The Mishnah was on Mimtet. What did we learn in the Mishnah? All the cases where there was Tum'at Ohim, where there was a Tum'at of Mit, yeah? I shouldn't say oil, because even maga umasa, anytime there was contact with a mit, so in order to become pure, the nazir we're talking about needs to be sprinkled with the para aduma on the third day and on the seventh day. That's the regular deen of sprinkling a person that's tamir. And what else did the Mishnah say? It says visoter, which means it sounds like he's got to recount. He's got to recount his count. Now, to remind you, we had a machloket earlier in the Masechet when the Nazir is doing his recount. Which day does he start the recount from? From day 7 or day 8? Let's review the machloket. It's going to be fundamental to how to interpret this Mishnah. The process was, the Nazir comes on day 7. Now he's tameh. He's got to wait 7 days. On day 7 he goes to the mikveh. He is considered now tevul yom. Right, he's got to wait until the Erev Shemesh. Erev Shemesh is considered now Mechusar Kippurim. So he didn't bring the Korban. Day 8, he brings his Korbanot. So there was a mahloket between the Bili'ezer and the Hachamim. Can you start the new count of the Nazirut on day 7 already, after he went to the Mikveh? Maybe you count day 7 as 1 already, because you're in the process. Do you want that? Or do you have to wait until day 8, after you brought your Korban? Okay, after coming out, you're going to pick up an extra day or not in the new round of Nazirut. That's a machloket. So we have to know our Mishnah, which shita is it subscribing to. Now, let's get the exact language of the Mishnah. The exact language of the Mishnah was v'soter et hakodmim. Okay, all the days that he counted till now are soter. Ve'eno matchil lenot el ad sheyitaher, until he purifies himself, umevi et korbanotav, and he brings his korbanot. Now it says, "Ve'enoy matchilot ela ad sheyitaher." So now the Gemara comes along and says, "Iba'ilu had diktani ad sheyitaher." What does it mean, ad sheyitaher? Bashivyikae? Does it mean the seventh day when he went to the mikveh? Ad da'avid ha'erev shemesh. Maybe ad sheyitaher means until ha'erev shemesh. You gotta wait till the evening, and that's when you cut. Umani Rabbi Eliezeri, which means that's Rabbi Eliezer. Or Dilma Beshemini Kae. Or maybe no, maybe it means Achi Taher, meaning until the eighth day. Umay Achi Taher, Achi Avi Korbenotav. Umani Rabbanani. So that's everything to give us a fix. Achi Taher means day 7 or day 8. Tashema Mediktani Sefa. The Sefa is the next Mishnah, which we're going to read right now. Okay, it says in the Sefa, it was really probably one big Mishnah, and the Shas split it up. So it says in the Sefa, it says like this, Matchil umone miyad. Oh. You'll look in the next Mishnah, it's going to say in another case, in the case that the Mishnah is going to discuss, he counts immediately, which means there's no deen of soter. He counts immediately, so it means what? Haresha immediately is mashma, even on day 7, which means Matchil miyad. הרשע מי עד שיתאהר, עד שיביא קורבנותיו. ומאני דברני, תאמרי נזירות תארה עד שמיני לא חי לה. Which means from the fact that the Mishnah later on, he used the lashon מיד, מיד was where it is immediately. Mashma, that when you just said עד שיתאהר is a later period. What's that later period? Until he brings his korban. So we're deducing it from the lashon miyad, which was written later. Good. Look at the rosh. Ad sheyitaher diktani bezayin ahad hazav v'tevila umani b'liyaz damar v'kedeshet rosho b'yom ahu b'yom tiklachtos shematchil monim miyad bo b'yom. He says you start counting the nunis zut on the day of the haircut, which is day 7. Odel ma behet umai ad sheyitaher בהבאת קורבנותיו, הוא אומר לי, רבנני, דאמר וקדש את ראשו ביום ההוא, ביום הבאת קורבנותיו. זאת אומרת, זה מה לא נעלם ביום ההוא, ביום תגלחתו או ביום הבאת קורבנותיו. זאת אומרת, זורשת from later on. Good. So from the fact that I said מיד, מיד זה משמע, מיד, day 7. Right, didn't say Biyad before. When it says Achitah, it's the later stage. The later stage, Korbanot, Tolef, and Zabanot. Good. Now we start the next Mishnah. Now, let's say the rule of this Mishnah. What's this Mishnah coming to do? This next Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah was teaching me Tum'ah of a Nazir, where it renders him full-fledged Tum'ah, that he has to shave, like a regular Tameh Nazir, bring Korbanot, right? And then start over again. This Mishnah is going to discuss quasi-types of Tum'ah that is going to make the Nazir Tameh, but not enough that he's going to shave and bring Korbanot. Because either the Tum'ah is going to be a Tum'ah Midrabanan, right, or it's going to be like a Safek situation. Now, the Mishnah is discussing both forms of Tum'ah, Tum'at Ohel as well as Tum'at Magao Masa, which is, each case has to be judged independently. Which type of Tum'ah are we talking about? But the point is, just like the Reshah was talking about both types of Tum'ot. If you remember, the Reshah said, Be'ahilo, Be'maga'o, Be'masa'o. The point of the first part of the Mishnah was these Tum'ot are real, full-fledged Tum'ot to render a guy a Tameh, Nazir, with Korbanot. These Tum'ot that we're going to talk about are quasi. I'm calling it quasi. I don't know if that's the right word. And therefore, the Mishnah is going to say, he might have to be sprinkled on the third and the seventh, because if he has Tum'ah, he has Tum'ah, but not enough for him to bring a Korban, not enough for him to shave, and it might not even soter some of the cases, not soter his days. He might be able to, you know, pick up where he left off. He might have like a temporary break in the action and then pick up after he finishes the 7 days right where he left off. So now we're going to go through each case separately and understand. So your Mishnah begins. Okay. Aval. So you see already it's the Sefa, because it's studying Aval. So obviously this Mishnah was connected to the first Mishnah. Hasechachot Vehapiraot. Now, Sechachot and Piraot will take Tosfot's advice to wait for the Gemara to explain us what those two cases are. Ubeta Paris. Now, Beta Paris is something that we learned several times already. And Gemara, what is Bet HaParis? That's a field that there was a kever, there was a mit buried there. And they plowed the field. Your concern is that the blade of the plow, digs up some of the mit and strews its pieces throughout the field. So they made a law, Midrabanan, it's a Hashash Midrabanan. They said, maybe there's a piece over there that's a Kisora and things like that. So they said, if somebody goes to that field over there, we're concerned that maybe he came in contact with a piece of the flesh, because it was plowed up. So therefore they put a Tum'ah. If a person went to Bet HaParis, look at the Tosafot, he explains it very, very quick. He says, Bet HaParis, first white line of Tosafot, Sadeh Shenehirash Bo Keber. Ve'ad Kuf Amma, 100 Amma, I guess, around the Keber, Hashu Hachamim, Shema Dildela Mahrisha, maybe the blade of the plow scattered Ba'atzamot. Nishtayir Sham Esim Kisora Veleka Tum'a Elamid Rabbanan. Can I say it's a far-fetched thing? Therefore it's not a Tum'a de Oraita, it's a Hashash. Therefore they put a Tum'a de Rabbanan. Okay, that's the case of Bet HaParis. Okay, good. Pares is literally means something that's broken or fragmented. So beta pares, the field that you're concerned about fragmented bones from the blade. It's just the words. The eres ha'amim. Okay, let's discuss what eres ha'amim is. We learned about Masechet Shabbat. The rabbis put tum'ah on eres ha'amim. Chutz la'aretz. So machloket, we'll see in the Gemara what's the nature of the tum'ah and what's the reason why they put tum'ah. But there's a tum'ah on eres ha'amim. So we're talking about a nazir, let's say, left eres Yisrael, went to eres ha'amim, and then came back. Okay, so we'll see exactly what that tum'ah does to the nazir. Next case, that golel that dofek. Okay, golel and dofek are actual according to Rashi's Ma'alok Rashi and Ibn Utam. Actually, Rashi learns the golel is the cover of the coffin. It's called the golel, and the dofek is like the sides. Okay, so it's actually the walls of the coffin. The golel is the ktav. Tosfot learns the golel is actually the tombstone, and the dofek is the stones that are holding up the tombstone. Because today they would wedge stones, you know, underneath it to keep the stone upright. In any event, whatever golel and dofek is, obviously it exudes a tumah. Okay. Continue the Mishnah. V'rivi'it dam. Oh. And v'rivi'it of blood. V'ohel. V'roba atzamot. All these dinim over here of v'rivi'it dam. And the next case would be roba atzamot, would be a quarter of a kav of atzamot. Has the ability to be tameh. But again, legaben nazir tameh, the shi'ur to shave and bring korban is going to be hatzilog. But don't think, even a roba will be metameh. It's not like we're saying Rava is going to be nothing. No, it'll be metameh be'ohel, but not inyan korbanot. Or for that matter, Rava kav atzamot. Now you have a quarter of a kav of bones. It'll be metameh the nazir. Nafkamina, you got to do the 3 and 7, meaning he's got to go through the process of tahara, but he does not bring korbanot. Good? Okay, so that's that. So again, revi'id dam, ve'ohel, ve'rova atzamot. Oil means in an oil where you have a rova of atzamot. Look at Tosfot. Tosfot just says afapish b'tamim be'ohel en nazir megaleh aleihem. Now Obedin, who the avilin lemiti pachot ma'atzi logdam or pachot ma'atzi kav. Right, which means really, for our purposes, we're talking about nazir. It didn't have to say revi'it. It could have said less than a half.
Yeah.
But since that's the shi'ur for stam tum'ah revi'it, so it chose a revi'it. Okay, next case. Vekelim anugrim bemit, and for that matter, any vessel that is touching the mit. Now we're going to see what type of kelim we're talking about. The chaura, not metal. Because if you're talking about metal, we said maybe has a din of the mit itself, whatever the mit is, but we'll see. Or maybe no, maybe I'll say metal, and metal, kelim have a different din than the mit itself. So we'll see exactly what type of kelim we're talking about. Let's hold that, put on an hold. Ubime safro, ubime gamro. This is talking about over here a nazir that became a mitzora. Well, let's review how mitzora happens. Guy gets his leprosy. Right now, he's got to go to the kohen, or the kohen comes to him. The kohen looks at him, makes an evaluation. Sometimes he doesn't render him a confirmed. Confirmed means he's muhlat. He waits for more simanim, a week, sometimes takes 2 weeks. Finally, he makes him a muhlat, meaning it's confirmed. Now, he's got to wait until the tzaraat goes away. Then he has to start 7 days of tahara. It's the count. The counting is called the bime safro. How does he count? He shaves his body, counts 7 days, he has to shave again at the end of the 7 days, and he brings his korbanot. So now we're talking about, of let's say, a person is a nazir, right? Bime safro, or bime gamro. Bime gamro is the days before he starts to count. The Gemara is going to say that, of course, during the Tumah of Tzara'at, his nazirut is on hold. You cannot count the days of Tzara'at towards his days of nazirut. But the point is, it does not soter it. Right? Because what did we learn? only Tum'at Met has the ability to soter a Nazir. So what's going to happen is it'll put him on hold. Now this guy, incidentally, whether it's Bimis, Safro days, or Gamro, that's the days before the Sefira, it's not going to necessitate him to be sprinkled either. Because there's no Tum'at Met over here. It's not like you need a 3 and a 7 for sprinkling. So what's the thing going to be? Whether it's Bimek Gamro, which means the days from when he finished being confirmed till he starts to count, or Bimek Safro from when he starts to count, those days don't are not tacked on to the Nizirut, but they don't spoil the Nizirut. Okay? And therefore, he's not going to be Korbanot either. Why am I telling you this? Technically, it's a Nazir Shinitma. But such a Tum'ah is not as strict as the Tum'at Met that we discussed till now. Therefore, in Tigla'at V'en Korban. Now we get to the Deen. Umazeh Al-Elu Ena Nazir Megalayah. Ena Nazir Megalayah, meaning Ena Nazir Megalayah Mita'am Nizirut. Actually, these words Ena Nazir Megalayah is going back on all the cases of the Mishnah. For the case of the Mitzorah, you have to just plug in El Nazir Megalayach, meaning for his Nazirut Tameh situation. Of course, he'll have to shave for the Tzara'at, right? But in all the other cases, he doesn't shave at all. He just picks up his Nazirut after he finishes. Umazeh Bashirishi or Bashiviyai. In the cases where you have Tum'at Met, right? In those cases, you'd have to be sprinkled on day 3 and day 7. Okay? Obviously, again, it's not talking about the Nazir Mitzorah case. You don't have to be sprinkled on day 3 and day 7 for a Nazir Mitzorah. That's obvious. Ve'eno soter et hakodmim. Oh, it's not soter the previous days. U'mathilu mone miyad. You start counting immediately, which is on day 7 already. Like we learned, you start the count wherever you left off until the Tum'ah. Ve'korban en lo. Right? And there's no Korban as well in this case. Look at the top Tosfot. Ve'eno soter takodmim. Ve'gam en olim no leminyan. Neziruto. He has those words there. It also doesn't count for his nezirut. The days. Ve'umatril mene miyad. Bimkom shepasak limnot. Keshenetma. Lo yatril limnot. Shimet tuma en olim no lemin neziruto. וגם קורבן שנזיר תמם מביא חטאת ועולה ועוף ואשם זה אינו מביא. Perfect. He doesn't mean the קורבנות אבי נזיר תמם as well. Last part of the Mishnah. באמת אמרו. What is באמת? In truth, right? In truth they said. Okay, usually this is like a הלכה. או הלכה לשם סיני. That's what they usually say. באמת, זה הלכה לשם סיני. ימי הזב והזבה וימי הזכירו של מסורה הרי אלו עולים לו.
Wow.
There's a certain Tum'ah that you can even count those days towards his Nazirut. That's Yemeh Ziva. Nazir becomes a Zav. Okay, Zav. He had an emission out of his body over there and things like that. So the Zav is going to be, or Zava, either way, man, lady. That type of Tum'ah, he can even count the days that he was Tameh Zav. Included towards the days and credit towards his Nazirut, or for that matter, Yemeh Hiskero Shel Mesorah. Hiskero is until he's confirmed. He has a Sarat on his body. But the Grand says, we got to wait till we see his Vadai. So the Hisker days can be counted towards his Nazirut. Okay, now the Gemara begins. We need to explain terminologies. So the Mishnah says, Gemara says, Ve'elu ena sechachot. What is sechachot? That was the first case of the Mishnah, right? Ilan hamesach ala aris. Period. Let's get rules here. To be subject to tumat ohel, you need, number one, to have an ohel. What's an ohel? Tefah. The item's got to be a tefah, at least. And the tumah's got to be underneath the tefah. And the guy's got to walk underneath that actual spot over there. Good. We're talking about a tree that's in the Rishut HaRabim. Okay? It's got a lot of public domain. It's got a lot of branches, things like that. However, the branches are very narrow, thin branches, and there's space in between them. So really, you don't have, in the majority of the tree, you really don't have an ohel. Because there's air space in between them. The branches themselves are not the size of a teva, but you have one branch that's the size of a tefa, and there's a piece of a mat underneath that branch, and the guy walked underneath the tree. So it's really a safek if he walked under that branch that had the tefah with the mat underneath it. It is a safek. Now we have a rule. Safek tum'ah b'rishut harabim tahor. Klal. You have a safek of tum'ah in the public domain, tahor. Actually, you learn it from the law of sota, which we'll see another time. But the point is that in this case over here, since really Minadin, she should be, he should be tahor. We're talking about a nazir now. Now, nazir walked under this tree.
Yeah.
So we're not going to say it's tameh le'nyan, gilua, and korban, but we'll say tum'ah le'gabeh. He's got to stop his count for momentarily. So let him get sprinkled 3 and 7, and then let him continue. Okay? Look at the Rosh. First line in Rosh. Ilana mesach al aris. The anafav muvdalim v'yeshkezai yitmeh ta'at echad min anafim. V'en yodua ta'at ezu. You don't know which one. Therefore, like I said, it is a safek. Okay. What's the next case? Ufera'ot. Hayyotzot min agadir. Similar case, we had this earlier if you remember. We're talking about, we have stones that are protruding out of a wall. So the stones have a tefah. So they are being mahil. Problem is, you don't know, and the nazir walked underneath, let's say, right? But you don't know which one had the mit underneath it. So it's also a type of safek. Look at the Tosafot for this one. Ufiraot. Avanima yotzim min agadir. My bones that are coming out of the fence. Rocks, stones, right, rocks. Hasamuk lebet hakivarot. Oh, it's next to the cemetery. V'yesham nefil ta'at ahat min avanim. Okay, nefil, you have something that fell, or nefil mamash. V'gazu achamim tum'al lebalech ta'at ahat min avanim. Afki safek tum'al b'shtarim yisifikot tahor. Right. Now, the Masech Nidat, Tosfos Mashma, if the guy walked the whole area, then it's tum'al v'adai already. Because he definitely walked under the rock that has the tum'al. We're talking about where he walked under part of it. So we don't know if he walked under the one that had the mit or not. Really, safek lo shtem should be tahor. So for a nazir, he's not going to shave, not going to be korbanot. Good? Okay, next. Ve'eres ha'amim. Iba'ilu. Eres ha'amim mishum avira gazru ale, or dilma mishum gusha gazru ale. There's always a question that they ask. Why did the rabbis put tum'ah? What was the nature of the tum'ah of eres ha'amim? Did they make a tumah on the airspace? Now, what's pshat on the airspace? That means the reason the rabbis would make tumah on the airspace, which is a new type of tumah. Meaning, even if the guy, let's say, figured out a way to remove himself from tumah tohim, he's in a box, he's in a carriage that's chotzetz from tumah tohim, doesn't matter. The air itself is going to be mitumah. Now, why would the rabbis make such a tumah? They don't want people going to Chutz La'aretz. They want to keep the guys in Eretz Yisrael. So you're going to go to Chutz La'aretz, but you're exposed to the air. I don't care if you fixed yourself that the oil is not going to get you. It's nothing to do with oil. They put a tumat stam on the avir. Or do I say, no. It wasn't a tumat avir. It's tumat gush. They're worried about the land. Why? We don't know who's in the land here. Maybe Mete Dora Mabul. Right? People are buried in Chutz La'aretz and the Goyim are not careful in marking the Kivarot. So you're concerned about, again, Jews, obviously, because we said there's no Tumat Ohel by Goyim. You're right that there's Jews that are buried over there in Chutz La'aretz. Therefore, they did Tumat Gush. Okay? So that's the concern. That's the Mahlok. Now, Nafka Mina, I told you will be. If you hold this Tumat Ohel, so technically if a guy goes in there with in a box and things like that, where he protects himself from Tumat Ohel, not going to be affected by the Tumat Chutz La'aretz. But if you say it's Tumat Avir, that's not going to help you. If you're in a box, even though you fixed your Ohel, but the air is still Tumat in there. You're breathing the air, right? Okay. Good? So comes again and says, I'll bring you a proof. Tashema, from our Mishnah. Ummazeh b'shirishi u'b'shivi'i. What do we say if somebody, if a nazir goes to Chutz La'aretz? Tumat Eretz Ha'amim is one of the items that he has to get sprinkled on. So the Gemara says, V'i amat mishum avira haza'al amali. Tumat avir is not similar than tumat mit. Tumat avir is a new humrah type of item. Correct? It's got nothing to, it's not even similar to tumat mit. Why would the Mishnah say He's got to get sprinkled on day 3 and day 7. Tum'at Avir is a chumrah of the rabbis, so you don't leave Israel. It's not connected to Matmit. From the fact that the Mishnah says if he goes out of Israel and he goes to Tum'at Amim, he's got to do 3 and 7, it's much that they were concerned about Tum'at Gush. They were worried about the land itself that there's Metim. So the 3 and 7 gives it away that it's Tum'at Gush. Good? Yes. So comes Gemara and says, Ela la mishum Gusha. No. לעולם אמלק משום אווירה וכי קטני השערה. Right? Don't be so tactical. When the Mishnah said you gotta be mazeh 3 and 7, it's not on all cases. It's on the cases that it applies to. On the others. It's not going on Tumat Eretz Amim. Tumat Eretz Amim, you don't have to do 3 and 7. I mean, we thought initially when it says 3 and 7, it's going on everything. No, it's not going on everything. The rest. So then I can tell you, it's really Tum'at Avir, and the 3 and 7 is going on the rest. And the Gemara says, Hachi namim mistabra. By the way, I'll bring you a proof to this. It's mistabet on the Mishnah, by the way. Midiktani vechirim anugim bemit. What was one of the cases of the Mishnah? Vessels that are touching the mit. Hani kelim b'nei hazaa in nun. The Gemara is assuming over here, what type of kelim are we talking about? Non-metal kelim. Okay? Now, non-metal kelim are not going to be subject to this law. Because the law of the tum'ah that we say if it touches the mit, that's only by keli matichet. Right? So therefore, and what are we saying over here? The assumption again is that the Mishnah is talking about non-keli matichet. And if it's non-keli matichet, l'chara, you shouldn't need haza'ah 3 and 7. Because only by keli matichet you need haza'ah. Oh, and so what does it say? 3 and 7. Ela must be going on. Hani kelim b'nei hazaa inun. Swamina ashara. Just like it's going on the other items, excluding kelim that the met touched. So to this as well, by the case of the tumat eretz amim. Look at the rosh, the last rosh on the page. Hani kelim b'nei hazaa inun pirush. Adam nogeya bekelim bar hazaahu. Ah, the rosh is learning. Bitmiya. The Rosh is assuming that this keli that we're talking about is not a matek, because if it was matek, it becomes avi avot. Now, we know if somebody touches avi avot or tumah, he's sprinkling. The Rosh is talking about over here, no, it's talking about a non-keli matek. Is it going to become tameh if it touches the met? Absolutely. But what does it become? An av. The met is avi avot. The keli that would. Keli touches the mit, it'll become an av. The fellow touches the keli, he becomes a rishon. A rishon does not need hazah 3 and 7. Also, what do you see? When it said 3 and 7, it's obviously not going back on all the cases. So, it's not going back on tumat, eretz amim. Baruch Adonai.